Most maps, when you look at them, will have a grid reference over the top, and that grid reference will be, for example, centimeter square or whatever, but it'll be a regular grid that overlays your map, or indeed any map. Now, the way in which these squares are formed is that you have a set of regularly spaced vertical lines and a set of regularly spaced horizontal lines. And this grid is there to enable us to identify where features are on the map. Now the question becomes, so here we go, here's a grid. There's no map here, but just imagine that there's a map line underneath this. So this is what a grid would look like. If we zoom right the way out and if we look at a map, this is what a grid would look like. From the bottom left corner of a grid, you will have either numbers or letters running in sequence. So here I'm choosing to use numbers, and generally numbers are used for most maps. So if we follow the horizontal line from the bottom left corner, we have 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and we could imagine that that number in sequence runs on 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, etc. And from the bottom left corner, if we go up, we go 1, 2, 3, 4. If we go up the vertical line, we have 1, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then 10, 11, 12. This is simple enough. Now, we call each vertical line, we call a northing, and each horizontal line we call an easting. So it's worth bearing these concepts in mind as I'm using those phrases as we move on. Although for most of this lesson, I will simply be referring to numbers. So this mixture of vertical and horizontal lines gives us a fairly nice grid that we can use to generate something called a grid, because it's a grid reference, and a reference like you would reference a book, a place somewhere on this grid. So we can see, for example, that there is a blue square there with 63 written inside it. We would be able to write that as a grid reference. And we're going to look at how we do that in just a moment.